Well, all right, here we are. Here we are again, the LTE podcast, brought to you by the Register Guard opinion page. I'm the steward of this podcast, Brendan O'Mara. How's it going? At Brendan O'Mara on Twitter. Not that that means anything. Today, we have Tatiana, our causes reporter. She has a very long hyphenated last name that I still don't know how to pronounce, so we will just call her Tatiana. She considered this a non-essential thing to do, which I think was just an unintentional insult, so this is a non-essential listen for all of you. I hope it gives you a little bit of insight into how she goes about the work, what it's been like having the boots on the ground of the social unrest and the coverage thereof by her and our photographers. She's a pretty cool person. I think so. Maybe you will too. I don't know. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you have your podcasts, wherever you dig them. That's about it. I didn't edit myself out of this one, so you're going to have to hear my stupid voice. You're going to have to deal. What can I tell you? In any case, here's my conversation with Tatiana, our causes reporter. The challenge reporting over the phone primarily versus, you know, being there in person most of the time. What has that been like for you?
Oh, I could give you a speech. like a long soliloquy.
Soliloquy, yeah.
Yeah, I really, it feels tragic, honestly. It's one of the hardest parts of the job because it takes a lot of the parts of the job that I'm best at. You know, there's a lot of parts of the job that I have figured out, which is like as a dyslexic, you know, spelling, writing, efficiency. I figured out those parts of the job. But of the parts of the job that have always been very natural to me, which is connecting with people and sharing emotional moments and even sometimes intimate connections with people when they're talking to me about their passions, about their failures, about their victories. That's the best part. And it is really hard to do that without eye contact, without facial expressions. It totally robs conversations of so much emotional intimacy. So it really makes it hard. It's easy when it comes to just, you know, simple questions to some public information officer. And I'm just, you know, looking for a simple answer to a simple question. But when I'm talking to sources about how they feel or how they've been, what they're going through, it's a challenge to try to give them a level of comfort and a level of safety and a level of respect that I think is easier to communicate physically and in person.
Yeah, because there's in the natural flow of a conversation, there's a lot of nonverbal body cues as well, whether it's just simply nodding or, you know, just kind of, you know, just being present, you know, nodding is things that don't, you don't have to interrupt people, but they can tell you're engaged nevertheless.
Yeah, right. And it's super important, I think, as a reporter, because I want to stay as unbiased as I can. I want to do my service as a news reporter. So I don't want to agree with people when they're telling me things. I don't want to say, I don't want to give them any kind of verbal cues that I am supporting their statements. But when I'm in person, I'm able to show them with my face that they're being heard. And I hear you is different than I agree with you.
Yeah.
And those subtle differences are way easier communicated in person, whereas I feel kind of tongue-tied over the phone because I want to say, oh, yeah. But I don't want to say, oh, yeah, I don't agree with you. I'm just a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I, what I mean to say is you're speaking and I'm listening, which is weird to say. So I don't say that.
Yeah. I had no idea that you were dyslexic and that you had to overcome that. That must is that something that's like an ongoing thing that dyslexic people have to wrestle with, and pardon my naivete, but that's just where I'm at.
Oh, no. I think there's just kind of some trouble with spelling that will surprise people, because I'm a professional writer, and I have considered myself a journalist and a reporter since I wrote for my middle school paper. I think people will see, you know, spelling issues, editors, hopefully those are the best people to see my spelling errors. And they'll be surprised, and I'll need to remind people that I'm dyslexic. And, dyslexia is really interesting, because a lot of really, I think, prominent intellectual figures have dyslexia. It's kind of a misunderstood, it's a misunderstood issue, because I don't know if I would necessarily count it as a disability. I think it's just a different way that some people's brain works. But it is a challenge sometimes when, I'm just trying to pump out content as fast as possible. I'm trying to get information out as clearly and efficiently as possible. And then there will be these spelling mistakes that will surprise my colleagues all the time. And I'll just have to remind people that, like, yeah, it seems like I'm maybe overlooking something, and I'm not. I promise you, I read it twice over, and I simply did not see this error. It's always been a challenge, but it's hard because I've never not been dyslexic, and I've never not been a writer. So
yeah.
I don't know what it looks like any other way. All I know is, like, I have things to say, and I have the ability to help show people what other people have to say. So please help me watch out for anything that gets in the way of any clarity.
Now, of course, we started this conversation by talking about, like, some of the challenges to having to do a lot of the reporting over the phone. But of course, you've had your boots on the ground for a lot of the protests in town. So take us to that experience. Of course, people can read the stories, but for you personally, what have these experiences been like, being in and among the crowds and feeling that energy among the hundreds and hundreds of people you've been around?
Wow. The first 2 or 3 days, it was really overwhelming and overstimulating to go from seeing nobody to seeing hundreds of people. it was a really crazy feeling. And as a reporter, I think and specifically when I'm given the opportunity, a causes reporter, I'm always looking for people's passion, and I'm looking for people's passion specifically for rooting out injustice. And so all of a sudden there's hundreds of people all trying to raise their voices and make a change. It's totally overwhelming. But it was also, it's an honor to capture, because so many days as a local reporter, you're looking around for, somebody who cares and somebody who wants to make a difference. And suddenly everybody comes out of the woodwork and shows up in ways that simply cannot compare to any moment in recent history, at least locally. So this explosion of stories, of voices, of passions. And so it's almost like, oh, where do you even begin? So I don't know. I'd say, I want to say I'm overwhelmed, but without a negative context, it's like, okay, yeah, I got to get working. I got to get started, because there's a lot of stories to tell here.
So how do you navigate approaching people to interview, and what are the tools at your disposal so you're capturing all this information and then maybe finding the right people to single out to give that great color to your reporting?
Well, I think one thing that I noticed off the bat that I appreciated, I would ask people questions to try, at first when I was trying to get a sense of who the leaders are and who the organizers were, I would just ask whoever was passing me by, hey, you know, like, do you know who's in charge? And there seems to me to be like a lot of clarity among protesters here in Eugene and every now and then Springfield, to point me towards people of color who were the leaders. And that was always my intent. My goal was always to elevate voices who are, you know, particularly impacted by this moment in time. And so I never was really going to just elevate a random white voice when there was a black organizer to speak to. But the people that I'm going to interview don't know that. And I did appreciate that there seems to be an understanding to me among white protesters to guide media to leadership and specifically people of color in leadership. And so I think that's been really interesting. And, you know, I'd like to say that that's what I was always going to do. You know, historically, journalists, reporters often talk to faces they recognize or, faces they're comfortable with. And so this preparation I felt among protesters to elevate the right voices, I don't know, it gave me a sense of like hope about the intentionality among protesters. So I think that, you know, protesters being really specific with journalists about elevating specific voices has been a good guiding factor. And then the other tools at my disposal is the amazing photojournalists I worked with who have not been through anything like this before, but have been through everything else before. You know, like Andy Nelson has taken pictures of war, and Chris Peach has in other countries, and Chris Peach has been a prominent member of this community for a very, very long time and has, you know, captured every other issue, whether it was climate change, Gulf War, dramatic trials. So this may be different, but they are really good listeners and absolutely amazing photographers. So I think that their ability to visually capture events has been a huge asset in getting an accurate and vivid picture of what's going on.
And what has been the challenge for you in keeping the coverage of this fresh as we see these protests happen on a daily basis?
Hopefully it was a little long-winded, but what I was getting at before about that, my initial feeling of just being kind of overwhelmed, that sensation hasn't totally left me. I still feel like there are many, many voices to be heard and many, many angles to tackle. And so, you know, at some point, maybe readers are going to be exhausted by protest coverage, but we haven't quite seen the numbers to prove that yet. And we continue to see people show up, and we see protests planned every single day, if not multiple protests planned every single day. And so I think in order to keep that content fresh, I just have to return to that feeling of, oh my gosh, there's a lot here, and dig in from a new angle. And so far my tactic has been to interview someone different every time and to try to talk about what the organizers are getting at that particular event. And one thing that leadership has done here locally, Black Unity, they have divided a lot of their protests into specific commemorations of different people lost to police violence. And so, you know, I think that's one way that it stays fresh, that, you know, today they marched for Tamir Rice and today they marched for Breonna Taylor. And so, yeah, I think that's how I try to keep it fresh, is I just try to, you know, point out what the goals are of the organizers, and they usually have, you know, a different approach every time, and then remind myself of the absolute ocean of voices to choose from, and to keep finding the new voices and the new angles that are available to me.
And by and large, you have, as a causes reporter, you have a pretty heavy beat. And how do you stay buoyant and light in the face of the subject matter that you often cover on a daily basis?
That's a good question. Well, I think that... I think the heaviness of it can be a tool, in that, you know, COVID is really serious, and the impacts it's having disproportionately, locally and nationwide, is serious. The impacts of systemic racism in both COVID and in police brutality is serious. And so, you know, there's something to be said about not burning out. So I try to eat healthy and call my friends and family. But I don't know if I want to stray too far from the heaviness, because I think that kind of grounds me when I can maybe like dismiss the work that we do, because it feels like, okay, well, only this many people read that story, and only this many people liked that tweet, and I'm only one of so many media members, and I'm only in this size town. There's so many ways we can like dismiss our work, and in a moment like this, the heaviness of it all gives us an opportunity to not dismiss ourselves and not dismiss our work and not dismiss our role as for reporters, as people who capture history as it's being made.
Well, Tatiana, this was great. Well, I really appreciate you carving out the time. This is nice to have a little conversation to talk shop here on this humble little podcast. So thanks for doing this, and I hope to do this again as more and more of your work comes out. I think it'll be fun to unpack some of the stories that you continually churn out for the Guard. So thanks for the time, and of course, thanks for the work.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking to me. I appreciate the time.